Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to this week's edition of the Gridiron Blitz Radio, brought to you by our sponsor, Zazzle.com. I am your host this evening, Nkeshi Free, and I am joined by my fabulous, awesome co-host, Eric Brown. Erica could not be with us this evening, but she will hopefully be back next week. So, Eric, how have you been?
Oh, been pretty good. Being busy, of course. Between work, kids, all that stuff. But it's going good. How you been?
I'm good. I missed being on the show with you guys for the past 2 weeks, but, you know, I definitely had to take care of the family business. For those callers who don't know, I had a loved one pass away. So, we had to go home and be with the family, and, you know, my cousin will be missed. And I know she's enjoying the show. She's one of my biggest supporters. And so I thank her for, you know, her love and all of her years of support. So I am back, ready to rock. And we are actually going to have a really good show this week. We've got Mark Staffieri joining us from Canada, from above the border. And we are going to be talking Canadian women's sports and athletics. And we are going to have Callie Brown joining us, talking WFA National Championship and the DC Divas. So I am really, really excited.
Yeah, it sounds like a good show. It's going to be jam-packed. So let's get it going here.
Absolutely. Well, I can't wait. And so I'll tell you what, while we wait for our callers to call in tonight and our special guest to join us, Eric, do you have any updates from the LFL?
Yes, I do. The latest game saw the Seattle Mist beat the Las Vegas Sin 64-19. So it was a pretty lopsided contest there. The Seattle Mist is now 4-1. Vegas is winless with one tie. So Seattle winning was pretty much to be expected, but I don't think they were expected to win by that much. Vegas had them winning by, when I say Vegas, I mean the betting board in Vegas had Seattle winning by 7.5. So obviously they cleared that. It was 50-13 at the half. So it was one of those games where, you know, you make your point, and you just kind of, you know, want to try to stay healthy the rest of the way. So they put a stamp on that. And for those that don't know, within the past 2 weeks, Seattle's added a couple of people. I think they had a couple injuries, so that they had to replace some people. So they brought in Teresa. Hopefully I can say the last name correctly, but Teresa Petriziello. Formerly of the Omaha Heart, she plays safety, and they also brought in Jenna Weiss, who played center for KK Matheny. And when they were in Jacksonville, KK is Seattle's quarterback. So they were able to bolster their roster a little bit and be able to come out with a win. So, and as of right now, the new LFL power rankings are Chicago at number one. They are undefeated at 4-0. Seattle moved up to number two, 4-1. LA is number three, and they are 3-2-1. Atlanta has dropped to number 4. That's probably one of the most overrated teams so far this season. But they have dropped to number 4. They're 3-2. And then, like I said, Vegas is winless at 0-4. And Omaha is winless at 0-5. So they're rounding out the bottom there. Omaha, I mean, they're going to have to do some serious retooling in the offseason because, I mean, obviously they haven't won a game, but they have looked very bad in their losses as well. So I don't know if they, had a bad offseason or they weren't able to prepare or what, but, they just didn't look like they had it together. But, I mean, Vegas looks like they're, even though they haven't won, they're a much more cohesive unit. They're known for, physical play. So, some tweaks here and there, they can probably, get in the win column next season. So the playoff picture for the LFL rounds out like this, Seattle versus LA for the Western Division, and it's going to be Chicago versus Atlanta for the Eastern Division, and that takes place on August 15th. So earlier this season, I know Seattle was favored to win the championship, but I'm still going with my hometown team, Chicago. I think they got this. Now they have a pretty heated rivalry with Atlanta, who they're going to play. They've beat Atlanta twice this year, and both those games were very close. And Atlanta lost late in games because of mistakes and just things that just went bad for them at the wrong time. So that should be a pretty heated game, pretty heated rivalry. But I'm expecting Chicago to come out on top. So that is pretty much it as far as the LFL picture right now.
Okay. Now, I have a question, and I'm going to ask this because I need to be educated.
We'll see if I know it.
No. I have faith in you. So I don't gamble. Okay. So let me just say that now. I don't gamble. And other than the slot machines, and, I literally am so bad at that. I have a set number of dollars. I say I'm going in. I play my little monies, and when it's gone, I leave. Or I walk around and watch other people because it's interesting,
Right.
Sometimes it's actually depressing because I leave because I'm like, I can't. Some of the people, I'm just like, Joe, you're hooked up to this thing like a life support. So, but for the most part, it's fun, it's lively, it's entertaining, or if there's a really cool show or something like that. So that's the extent of my understanding of gambling and casinos. Can you help educate me and, in all fairness, some of our other fans and followers who are listening who maybe don't understand Vegas and the point spread and the over-unders and you know what I'm saying? Because, when you were saying that Vegas had points on Seattle, and I'm literally thinking to myself, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm going to get educated. So why not get educated along with everyone else? So can you explain that to me a little bit more?
Well, actually, as far as all the betting and the over and the under and all that stuff, I have never gotten into that, so I'm probably just as in the dark as you are on that. But in this particular scenario, they had Seattle. They're predicting Seattle to win by 7.5. For what it's worth, for everybody that does bet, obviously they would look at that. If they're trying to make a bet to see who's going to win, or who they think is going to win, or who they want to win, et cetera. They can take a look at that and then be able to make a calculated decision as far as, okay, if I put my money on Vegas, who is, predicted to lose, then I can stand to make a lot more than if I put the money on Seattle because they're already predicted to win. But, as far as my knowledge of all that stuff, no, I never got into that. I've only been in a casino once in my life. And that was because they were having a concert that I wanted to see, New Edition, last summer.
Yes.
But I just walked right through the casino and went to the concert. And when that was over, I walked right through the casino. So that's about the extent of it.
Yes. And speaking of New Edition, of course, the sadness of Bobby Christina passing away this past weekend. And, so, of course, our hearts goes out to the Brown family. And you and I, of course, you know, we talk all the time about New Edition offline. So, but for everyone else who doesn't know, yeah, Eric and I are diehard New Edition fans. And, you know, so one of our top favorite groups. So, of course, you know, I grew up with them. And so, you know, so that's a very good reason to go to the casino, because I totally, you know, like I said, I've been a few times, but I just, you know, and I know that gambling and betting is, you know, is so intertwined with the sports and the athletics that we cover. So I thought, you know, let me see if I would be brave enough to ask someone else if they have an understanding of, you know, how these things connect. And because truthfully, I don't ever bet because I don't understand it and what I'm supposed to be doing. So I just sit there and smile and say, okay. I mean, I clearly understand some of it. You know, if one team is favored to win, you know, they think they're going to win the, let's say, you know, the Super Bowl, X team is favored to win the Super Bowl, you know, and then people predict what the score is going to be for the game. Okay, I mean, that's the obvious kind of stuff, you know, and I get that. And I, you know, that stuff is easier to follow. But the whole over-unders and, you know, and the point spreads and all that kind of stuff, that's when I just smile and say, okay, and this is why I don't do it. But
yeah, that's kind of where I start to tune out and, you know, start worrying about the actual game itself. So.
Okay, so I'm good. So I feel much better that I'm not alone in that. And speaking of Super Bowls in the IWFL League, congratulations to the Pittsburgh Passion, and they have won back-to-back world championships. So congratulations, ladies, on a job very well done. We're excited for you and very happy for all that you have accomplished. And Ronda Rousey beat Beth Cohea this past weekend in MMA, and I think what was it? The I think she had her down in what, 34 seconds.
Yep, the whole thing was over in 34 seconds.
So that's going to be another one of those things. Well, congratulations to Ronda Rousey. She clearly is dominating in her sport, but I would have to say, for the amount of money that people pay to watch these things, I think I'd be really upset if something ended in 32 seconds. I mean, 32 seconds. That means as soon as they start, you better be sitting right there and don't look away because it's over. I mean, you sneeze and, you know, when people sneeze, you automatically close your eyes and you cover your face. Nope. Sneezing is done. Literally, you can sneeze and it's over. And I'm just like, wow. A lot of hype for 32 seconds.
That's one of the reasons they have, you know, so many preliminary fights leading up to that, because you know, they want to make sure everybody feels like they somewhat got their money's worth, so that when the next one comes up, they're like, "Nah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to, you know, spend my money on it because it's only going to be, you know, 2 seconds." So, but I mean, yeah, this is very reminiscent of when Mike Tyson was coming up, you know, with, you know, the pay-per-views and. You know, people would be all hyped up for the fight, and then he'd win in like 2 rounds. And so clearly whoever fights her next, the strategy should be to try to make her go as deep into the fight as possible to see, you know, if she can last.
Yeah. And then in that regard too, so since you brought up the Tyson comment, I've been hearing a lot of people make the correlations between Ronda Rousey and Mike Tyson. Now, clearly MMA, mixed martial arts, is obviously a much different sport than straight boxing. And clearly Ronda Rousey being a female and Mike Tyson, I mean, Iron Mike, I mean, what else can you say? But do you see any of those similar correlations?
I see similarities as far as obviously the length of the fights that she's had. You know, I don't think she's had any fights that have gone more than a minute. If so, it wasn't much past that. And also how dominant she is. I mean, it's not like she's, you know, been on her back and, you know, being beat up and had to fight back through the rest of the fight. I mean, she's on them from the get-go and just dominates the whole thing. So that's very similar to a young Mike Tyson. Now, in my opinion, though, he wasn't fighting the greatest fighters in the world at that time, because if you go back and look at his fights, anytime somebody challenged him or was a world champ, he lost. He lost to Buster Douglas, he lost to Lennox Lewis, right. He lost to Evander Holyfield twice. So that tells you, you know, coming up, he probably wasn't really fighting the best fighters in the world. But in Ronda Rousey's case, I mean, she's the top dog, and there may be one that's close to her, but, you know, she's in her weight class is like maybe 20 pounds heavier than Ronda's is.
Okay.
And they call her Cyborg, Christine something, but they call her Cyborg. But she's been.
Oh, wow.
You know, she's. I think they did find out she was on steroids for a bit, so I don't know if she's still on steroids or not, but everybody
right.
wants her
and
to fight.
And that will definitely impact it. Well, now
right.
we, oh, great. Well, we do have a caller. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there. We do have a caller, but before we pick up the line, I did want to just say one more thing, that there was also comments about Ronda Rousey being, you know, the best female athlete in the world, and I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with that comment, because I think that to say that is disingenuous to all that Serena Williams has accomplished. I mean, Serena literally is one tournament away, one open win away from a slam, you know, from
right.
getting winning
right.
all four. She's already won the Australian. She won the French. She won the Wimbledon. So she's one open away from a Grand Slam. And she is one win away from matching Steffi Graf, two wins away from beating Steffi Graf in the open era. And I don't know anyone else who has dominated their sport the way that Serena Williams has dominated tennis. And while I respect Ronda Rousey's abilities, I think that that's extremely disingenuous to all that Serena has done. Now, again, these are two totally different sports. They're two totally different athletes, and I get that. But I just
right.
wanted to, you know, throw that out there, and, you know, since we were making that observation. And while speaking of women's sports, let's get into our caller. Good evening, and welcome to the Gridiron Blitz Radio, sponsored by Zazzle.com.
Oh, hello.
Hi, is this Mark?
Yes, it is Mark.
Well, hello, Mark. Thank you so much for coming on board tonight. We are excited to have you. This is Nkeshi, and my co-host for this evening is the fabulous Eric Brown. So how are you doing, Mark?
Well, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on this evening.
Oh, well, we are very excited to have you, and learning a lot more about Canada and women's sports in Canada. And so I definitely am excited that you're here. So just to give everybody a little bit of background, I'm going to hopefully say this correctly, Mark Staffieri.
Yes.
Did I pronounce it correctly? Yes. Is
absolutely.
A proud contributor to Canada Football Chat, CWHL, Women's Hockey Stats, and Women's Hockey Life. And
yes.
Again, this is our neighbor to the north. So, Mark, thank you for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure.
So now I know it's been a while since you've been on the show, and you're doing articles for at Chat Football. And would you, you know, tell us a little bit more about what you've been doing since the last time you were on your show? And this is the first time I think you've been on with myself and Eric. I think you probably have spoken with Eric in the past. You couldn't be here this evening. But, you know, tell the fans a little bit and our listeners about what you've been up to and what all you've got going on right now.
Well, right now it's been basically women's football and women's hockey. I've also recently started getting involved with some women's baseball. Because the Pan Am Games were hosted in Toronto, women's baseball was contested for the first time, and I did contribute some stories to Get Real Baseball, and I also had the chance to interview some girls from the national Canadian team.
Oh, Wow, that's exciting. Now, did you get a chance to attend the World Cup games between Japan?
I did, actually.
And yay, were you there for the final?
No, I wasn't there for the final. I'm based in Ottawa, and the finals were out in Vancouver. But during the Ottawa was one of the host cities, and I did get the chance to watch Germany play a couple of games. And when Team USA played China in Ottawa, I was in attendance at the games.
Oh, how exciting. What was the atmosphere like for those of us who obviously couldn't be there, but I know it had to have been extremely charged?
Well, I was actually very surprised. It was sold-out crowds both times. For the USA's game against Ottawa, a lot of people from upstate New York had made the drive to Ottawa to catch the games. Definitely a very pro-American crowd, but that was understandable. The Americans put on a great show, and it wasn't a surprise to see them win the World Cup.
Oh, good. Well, I mean, I of course, you know, yes, I'm American, yay, proud Team USA, you know, but they really did, you know, have challenges in some of the, you know, more traditional teams, you know, your Germany, your China, your Japan, your Italy, you know, Great Britain, of course, you know, England. So, you know, having a chance just to watch some of the best of the best of the best in action, you know, I'm not going to say I took it for granted that the USA was going to win, because these other countries have some fabulous teams and some really talented players.
Oh, yeah. And there's no question, I think that because of what the USA did in winning the championship and just the fact that Canada was the host country, I think that in North America it's really helped generate more interest among young girls. And I really think in the future you're going to see soccer become even more popular with women in schools and in universities, no question.
Okay, so now that was going to be my next lead-in question. So thank you so much for making the statement, which was going to be, do you really see, or how much of an impact do you think that the World Cup games have on women's, you know, overall? And as a journalist, and you're doing the articles and you're covering, you know, the Maritime Women's Football League, and you're covering the WWCFL, and, you know, how do you see the impact, or do you think there's going to be any impact of the success of the Women's World Cup game translating towards success for other women's sports?
Well, I don't think there's any question, considering that so many of these soccer players ended up on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It's really one of the first times you've seen a women's sport become mainstream, and I don't think there's any question it will eventually translate. And if you look at Dr. Jen Welter and what's happened with her on the Arizona Cardinals, that's really opened the door for women's football. So I really think that you're going to see a big shift towards women's sports in general, but I think that it's still going to take a few years, but it's definitely in the right direction.
Okay, great. Well, so tell us a little bit about Canadian women's football, and you know, what are some of the teams that you cover, and give us our listeners a little bit more information about them, because, you know, of course we're trying to promote women's football all across the world. Mm-hmm. And as we've, Eric and I especially, have often said that part of the key to growing the sport is to grow a fan base, but you can't grow a fan base unless people have some interest or have an emotional or connection or attachment, you know, to the teams and the players. So I'd love this opportunity, you know, for you to tell us and tell our listeners, you know, who some of the teams are in Canada and what's so great about them, and, you know, who we should be looking for.
Oh, I'd be glad to. The one thing I will mention is that there was actually supposed to be a third Canadian league this year, and it just never happened. In Toronto, there was supposed to be a Central Canadian Women's Football League. There had been plans for four teams, And the Canadian Football League, a couple of the teams had been aware of it and tried to, you know, provide publicity and support. But at the end, it was just a question of not getting enough people to commit to it, because it is a time commitment. These girls are not paid for what they do, and yet they work incredibly hard. And I think that over time, you will see more interest in it. But right now, I would say the province of Saskatchewan is definitely the hotbed for women's football in Canada.
Okay.
You've got the I was going to say, you've got the Saskatoon Valkyries. They won the first four Western Canadian championships. And this year, the Regina Riot, they ended up winning as well.
Oh, very nice. Now, the Regina Riot, what province are they located in? Are they also
in Saskatchewan? Yeah.
They are also
right
in Saskatchewan.
Now,
okay.
Yeah, they are probably the two most well-known women's football teams in all of Canada, I would say, just because they're so dominant and they provided so many players for Team Canada at the last women's championships. They are the only two women. They get so much mainstream media coverage in the province of Saskatchewan. They've really become the leaders, I think, the superstars in Canada for women's football, no question.
Now, do you see or think that Canada, and this might be a loaded question, but do you think or see Canada doing something differently to than what's happening in the U.S. with regards to the promotion and publicity of their female athletes? And let me tell you why I asked the question, because I know right now Canadian football, men's Canadian football is going on right now, and I happened to catch a game last week Friday, and I honestly was pleasantly surprised at how packed the stadium was, and I guess unless you watch the game, you don't realize how much the sport of American-style football is growing outside of the U.S., and especially in Canada, because truly the dominant sports are hockey and baseball. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, I mean, football, I mean, there's a history of over 100 years in Canada, so it's always been part of the culture, but I know over the decades it's the reaction's been hit and miss or hot and cold. It just depends. But right now, the real difference is that the ownership throughout the CFL is so much more stable, and they're so much more committed than they've ever been. So I think that's a huge factor. And I know, too, that there are efforts being made, especially in Western Canada, to have men and women's football supporting each other. I know at the Calgary Stampeders, a lot of the ushers who are at the games, they're actually women's football players. So there is that growing.
Oh, nice.
But again, it's just one of those things where, I mean, to a degree, women's football, it's still looked at as a bit of a novelty. So it still takes time for people to process that. But I know in the Maritime Football League, the Halifax team out of Nova Scotia, for 3 years in a row now, they've marched in the Halifax Pride Parade, and they've always been some of the most popular people walking in that parade. And I'd say the most positive thing that's happened in the Maritime League is the fact that they've been able to get so many new players. It's really remarkable how they've been able to expand their rosters.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. Well, and that was going to be the question, you know, that I asked for you in terms of, you know, the two leagues that you've got. You know, have there been any surprises? You know, what teams have, what teams stand out, and what teams should we be keeping our eye on for next season?
Well, in the Maritime League, the class of the league is definitely the St. John Storm. They've been the powerhouse. They've won 7 championships over 12 years.
Oh, wow.
And I know that during the first women's championships, the world championships in 2010, a big chunk of the roster came from St. John. And they've always been, again, they're one of those really famous and influential teams. Not a lot of people know about them, but if there is such a thing as a dynasty, they're it. There's no question about that.
Oh, wow.
And in the Western League, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. This is interesting.
No, I was going to say that in the Western League, again, those teams from Saskatchewan, they're so dominant that the other teams, it's not to say that they're behind, but, you know, there's still a lot of progress to be made. I know in Alberta, 2 years ago, they had 5 women's football teams, and this year they only had 3 teams. And even though they've got a lot of talent there, it is a bit discouraging to see 2 teams not suiting up. And I really hope those 2 teams come back next year, because it's really too bad when you see the sport grow, but then you got some teams that struggle.
Now, Canada is a very large country, and I know the United States is large, but Canada is very large. And do you think that the size of the country has any impact on the ability for teams to form in certain regions or provinces? Am I saying that correctly?
No, definitely. No, it definitely makes a difference. I know that in the Western League, there's 2 teams in Manitoba and the 2 in Saskatchewan. And to travel from those areas, let's say from Winnipeg to Regina, that's easily 3 to 4 hours. And I know that in Alberta, I know that one of the teams that did not play this year, they were in Grand Prairie, which is actually north of Edmonton. And to go from Calgary to Grand Prairie on a bus, that's easily 6 hours.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of these girls, what would happen is basically they'd get off the bus, get in the uniform and play. They'd be exhausted. And then after the game, they get back on the bus and come home. So it can be an extremely long day.
Right. And because and not having team planes and all of those other luxuries of travel impact, it just has to have an impact on one's ability to perform. I mean, think about even with, players traveling now, the NFL requires you to be, what is it, Eric? I think the NFL requires the traveling team to be in the city where they're going to play. Is it 24 or 48 hours ahead of the game?
Not for certain, but typically it's a couple of days before.
Yeah, because they're trying to avoid...
If it's like a Sunday game, usually they're there by Friday.
And now, having worked with recruiting and scouting, Eric, does that travel make a difference? Does it, from your experience?
Well, where I was at with the Texas Revolution in the Arena League, that makes a huge difference because they were traveling pretty much all over the country. They would go from Dallas all the way up to Green Bay, or sometimes a team from South Dakota would come down here. You're talking bus rides of anywhere from 5-6 hours up to like 20 hours. They didn't have the luxury of being there a couple of days before the game. They were there, usually maybe the day before, a lot of times the night before. So it made a huge impact as far as how they played.
Oh, wow. So your players also traveled by bus then? They didn't travel by plane?
Right. They were traveling by bus.
Oh, wow. So, I guess if you're sitting on a bus for all those many hours, I guess that would have an impact. And having that said, then I guess that's why I was wondering, it's just as soon as you're starting to get the game to grow, then if these are the types of factors that the athletes are facing, you know, does this negatively impact or set the game back or the whatever progress has been made?
Well, there's no question that because it's still relatively a new concept in a lot of these areas, finances definitely come into it. And I know that in Regina and in Saskatoon, they are starting to get a couple of thousand fans per game. So in that regards, you can see there's growth. But in the other parts of the country, it's still not there yet. And it's unfortunate because I know that in Alberta, in the community of Sexsmith, there is an all-girls football league at the high school level. So
oh, wow.
you definitely are seeing growth. And a lot of those girls from that high school, they were playing for the team in Grand Prairie. But, again, one thing I saw with the expansion in the Western League is that because it is an adjustment and because of the travel and the injuries, it just makes it very hard to get a team together and build morale and build victories. And, you know, unfortunately, that's really where the travel comes into it. And it would be so much easier if you could take a plane and have a day to recuperate from the travel. And I think that until those issues are addressed, it will take time to get another expansion team and get that roster built up. But there's no question that the people who are involved now, they are committed and they want to really increase the awareness of the sport. But I think it's a generational thing, and it's going to take a bit of time.
Okay. Well, you mentioned it's generational, and you also mentioned the injuries. So that is the perfect lead into my next question. And Eric, I'd really like love your feedback and input on this as well in terms of different styles, because what I know, and because Eric covers the LFL for us, so I know that in speaking with a lot of my female friends, that they are just really appalled with the LFL and they just, you know, can't watch the game because they can't get past looking at the ladies and their bodies and their bikinis. You know, and of course, we know all of the injuries that the men face and they're fully padded. So I can only imagine the injuries that the ladies in the LFL league face. So, you know, both of you, you know, if you guys could tell me, what are your thoughts on the impact of the bikini style versus the NFL full kit style of play in the women's game? And Mark, if you could start with that, we'll start with you first.
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because there, at one time, the LFL did have a Canadian division.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, we had a team in Toronto, and then we had three in Western Canada, one in Vancouver, and then two in Regina and Saskatoon. And I know from my experience, once again, the mainstream coverage in Regina and Saskatoon, it was actually very positive. Saskatchewan is definitely the capital of football in Canada, and they were such huge supporters of women's football. And I know, again, the bikini, it's a problem, it's understandable, but the support of the media was so positive in just giving women's sport exposure. And I can tell you that, you know, when the second season did not materialize, these girls were definitely disappointed. And some of the girls from the Western League, I don't know if you knew this or if Eric knew this, but some of the girls from the Edmonton Storm and the Calgary Rage had actually committed to playing for the LFL team in Calgary.
Oh, wow.
Okay, no, I had
I was just going to say the team was supposed to be called the Calgary Phillies.
Oh,
and there were,
I like that.
Yeah, and there were five girls from the Western League that had actually made the roster and they made the team. But again, the the league, the Canadian league, folded before anything ever happened. But you know, there was so much media attention generated towards the league that I know that I really felt it would have been a very good thing just to help promote women's football in Canada. And for a lot of those players, it was another way to help keep them in shape and improve their skills. So in some ways, I really think it was a bad thing that it didn't work out in Canada. But there's no question, it's a different style of game, a different expectation, but I really do think that it was a lost opportunity.
And Eric, what are your thoughts?
Well, I can agree with that, it was probably a lost opportunity. I know here in the States, it seems like it's having trouble picking up steam. I mean, it's grown much bigger than what it was. I mean, you can obviously see that they have, you know, real athletes playing now versus when it first started, when it was just a bunch of models out there running around, you know, for entertainment. So you can see that there's an obvious skill set. I mean, the quarterbacks, you know, are very accurate. I mean, they can spin it. I mean, you can just see, you know, the technique and the blocking and the tackling and you know, the running and running routes, things like that. So I think it's unfortunate that it's not getting bigger, and I don't think it's going to get any bigger until one of two things happen. One, the commissioner decides to put them in, you know, quote-unquote regular football uniforms, or two, find a way to get more women behind it because, you know, more female fans behind it. You know, a big reason a lot of the major sports are so big is because of the female following. They have, you know, they spend a lot of dollars, you know, at the stadiums on, you know, jerseys, hats, you know, all the novelties. So if somehow they can get more women behind it, then it'll continue to grow. But from where it's at now, I don't see it getting much bigger. I mean, case in point, I was trying to watch a game a couple weeks ago, you know, to be up to date for the show, and my wife was watching it with me. But you know, every 5 minutes, it was, "Oh, I can't believe they have to wear that," or, "Oh, that's so." If she's saying that, then you know, obviously, you know, there's, you know, thousands and thousands of other women that are feeling the same way, and I think that's really kind of holding them back, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I would definitely agree with that, too. If it was maybe bicycle shorts, maybe that would be go over a bit better. And I also think, too, that if there was possibly player compensation or increased compensation, perhaps that would go a long way as well, because I do believe that the LFL, to a degree, it has the potential to be a sports entertainment venue akin to WWE, that type of pop, mixing sport and pop culture together. But it really needs to get its ducks in a row, no question.
Now, see, that
definitely is
a great analogy. That is a great analogy, Mark, because I was having this conversation with someone else about you know, the WWE, and I'm like, okay, why is it okay for the wrestlers to run around half naked and, you know, and they're wrestling, you know, and they're doing all this stuff, and, you know, I'm just waiting for someone to have a wardrobe malfunction one day, you know, with the guys, and, you know, so why is it okay for them to run around in those little bitty briefs and everyone's fine with it? Why is it okay for women's volleyball players who are literally not wearing much more than bikinis as well?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yet, when the women's USA volleyball team comes out there, nobody's caring that they're wearing, you know, and even track and field. Like, you know, in track and field, I actually had real shorts, you know, when I ran in high school. Now they're just running in what we, when I was a cheerleader, we called them bloomers, you know, but that's basically what the track athletes are running in, are the little underwear that we wore under our cheerleading skirts. So I just think it's very, and even cheerleading, the uniform has gotten skimpier. But then now cheerleading is catching backlash for the skimpy uniform. So I think it's really, really interesting in terms of the dynamic with regards to how people view the uniform and the impact that the uniform has on the sport. And I just was curious to see, you know, if Canada was having the same reaction that we seem to be having here in America toward the LFL and the uniform, or lack thereof, depending on whose position you take.
Well, I'm glad you've asked that, because Rob Ford, the former mayor of Toronto, his niece was actually the first quarterback for the LFL's Toronto team. I'm not sure if you had been aware of that. And I know that there was so much media interest around his niece playing football. And, you know, everybody would ask about that. What's it like to play in the bra and panties? But once people got over that, everybody was interested in the football. And I noticed that throughout the rest of the Canadian League as well. Once people got over that, it really wasn't an issue. But I know, too, that in the Canadian League, it really wasn't marketed as sex. It was really marketed more as smash-mouth football, as entertainment. And there were just so many positive vibes about it that nobody really thought about it in a sexual context. I think it was more just the fact that women were getting a chance to play sport and getting the chance to be in the spotlight. And I think that from the Canadian perspective, that's really what was being talked about.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. We do have Callie Brown is going to be joining us soon. So I want to make sure we leave some room and some time for Callie on this show. Callie Bronson, excuse me. But, Mark, we really appreciate your being here. Eric, did you have any questions for Mark before we let him go?
Well, I did, but actually he covered it. I was just wondering what the reaction was in Canada to women's football. But, we pretty much covered that, so I'm good.
Wonderful. And, Mark, can you let all of our listeners know where they can find you?
Well, they can find me regularly on Canada Football Chat. I'm always contributing there. On the Canadian Women's Hockey League site, I'm continuously involved there. And Women's Hockey Life, definitely proud to be part of that great organization as well. So I'm definitely around.
Wonderful. Well, again, thank you so much. And, Mark, we really appreciate you coming on today and joining us. Again, this interview was sponsored by Zazzle.com. And, again, Mark, thank you so much. And we look forward to continuing to communicate and stay in touch.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure. Great speaking to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Have a wonderful evening. Take care, Mark.
You as
Bye-bye.
Well. Thank you.
And we now have with us the fabulous Callie Bronson online. Hi, Callie. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Oh, wonderful. Glad to have you, and thank you for giving us another chance. I'm so sorry for the Wi-Fi mix-up the last time you were here, and I wanted to let you know that I did know that you were on hold, but, I just wanted to make sure we had enough time to wrap up with Mark before we connected with you. And so how are you feeling? Are you ready for the big game?
I am. I it's the calm before the storm right now. It's kind of the anxiety of kind of these next few days is kind of starting to set in. So last week was a little bit more surreal, and now it's starting to set in that we're headed to the big show. So just trying not to redline too soon here and kind of keep it as low-key as possible.
Awesome. Well, I'm really bummed because actually you guys are playing one of your playoff games at my alma mater where I went to high school.
That's right.
Yep. yeah, you guys were playing at Lee. And I'm like, ah, I was so bummed. If I had known, I would have gone over to the game so that I could see you guys play. But I think I was out of town that weekend. So I'm just like, ah, man. So I'm definitely going to have to try
though,
to, you know.
Yeah, it was. It's refreshing, you know. Me, obviously being from Northern Virginia, you know, usually we always play up over by FedEx Field and Landover, and it's just always very interesting to see, you know, the fan base that we bring out when we play in Virginia. I mean, our last playoff game against Chicago, the stands were almost packed. It was really awesome to see. I mean, again, like I said, being a native of Northern Virginia, it's always fun to play in front of, you know, kind of your home crowd. It was really an awesome environment.
That is so awesome. I can only imagine. So tell us what you've been up to since we last spoke with you, because I think the last time we talked to you was about the beginning of was right before the season started.
Absolutely, yeah.
So catch us up with what's been going on.
It seems like it's been an eternity, honestly, this season. You know, we started off with a full schedule of 8 games and actually had a couple teams forfeit on us, mostly just the Baltimore teams that we were supposed to face, which, you know, is a bummer. You want to be able to play 8 games in your season and stay competitive. Bye weeks are very difficult because, you want to maintain your focus. So, you know, that kind of prolonged season made it feel a little bit longer, but it's been great. It's been just the way, kind of sitting back and looking back on how the team has come together and meshed through this whole process. And, you know, it's no doubt in our mind why we're where we're at right now when you look back on just everything we've been through the past couple months and just how we've all gelled and come together. You know, we started off in Columbus and then went up to Boston, won that game, which was a phenomenal game. You know, got back and regrouped, played a couple more games, then Boston came down and saw us, and we really won that game. And then, you know, going into playoffs, kind of knowing we were going to match up with whoever won the Boston and Chicago game. And then, you know, a great game against a great Chicago team the other weekend. It's been a crazy season. It's been a roller coaster, and we've all kind of had to jump out of our comfort zones a little bit, but obviously for a greater good.
Now, Callie, I remember you said that you wanted to play quarterback. Did you get a chance to play this year in that position?
Well, it's been crazy, actually. You know, the past 5 years, I've honed myself in kind of as a defensive back, and kind of where I fell in the scheme of things. And this year, you know, my role has changed drastically based off of, you know, what the team needed. In fact, I play a majority of my time on the offensive side of the ball, and you know, I have seen a significant amount of time at quarterback. You know, primarily I'm doing running back and wide receiver, and then, you know, I come in at quarterback when needed as well. So yeah, I've gotten a lot of time, a lot more than I thought I would have gotten in the beginning of the season. And it's been fun. I have to really chalk it up to our coaches. You know, they really, a lot of people are asking me, what's the difference between, you know, this season obviously being very successful and the seasons before? I mean, we're just really being allowed to have fun playing football again and trusting our talent and knowing that we're talented. And then, you know, they're kind of letting us off the leash and letting us have some fun while we're doing it. And I think that is such a key ingredient. That's definitely been a theme in my season. I'm just having a blast with it. So whether it be quarterback or running back, wide receiver, defensive back, special teams, you know, I'm just having a blast.
Okay, now, so you just said something that's really just grabbed my attention when you said that your coaches are kind of letting you guys run with it. Now, again, you know, I'm going to have to defer some of this to Eric because he is our, you know, our one actual football player on the team. But, you know, I hear that sometimes, you know, and a friend of mine, we were having this conversation on Twitter about Troy Polamalu, and you know, I was saying that, because I think the question was, you know, who's the best player on the team? And, of course, everyone said Big Ben. And I said, yeah, I said Troy back in the day was the man. And so then it was, oh, yeah, but he really couldn't cover this, that, and the other. And I'm like, yeah, but you know what? He could hit. He could hit hard. He could hit fast. And you never saw him coming. You never know when he was coming. And I said, but the key to that was that he had a coach who focused on his strength, not
right.
his weakness. And he let him go and be Troy and do Troy and play Troy. And so I find it so interesting that you literally use the exact same analogy to describe your season. And Eric, do you find that to be true as well as a recruiter and as a player? You know, what difference does that make for you on the team?
Well, when you have a coach that knows you and, you know, has the type of that type of confidence in you, it makes things that much easier, because if they don't have the confidence in you, then it's kind of like you're playing with a leash around your neck where you can only do so much. But if you have – it helps, number one, if you have a coach that has the type of personality that will let you basically just let you be you. And if you can go out there and just play free and not have any worries, that makes it that much more fun. And you know, you just go out there and just lay it on the line, versus, you know, every time you make a mistake, you're kind of looking over your shoulder, you know, trying to see what the coach's reaction is, or you know, kind of waiting to see if somebody's going to come in for you, that type of thing. So yeah, it makes a world of difference.
Yeah, I like exactly how you explain that, because you know, you'll hear it from players who've been playing, you know, a significant amount of time and have seen multiple coaching staffs come in and out. You know, they'll be able to tell you which coaches were, the term that, you know, comes to mind with me, were a little bit more rigid. This is your job, and this is all I really want you to do. Please don't do anything else. And then you have your coaches who say, you're an athlete, and I trust that, yes, this is your job, and I don't want you to feel like you have to do somebody else's job, but go have fun doing your job. Don't be scared to be you as a player. And like I said, with our coaching staff on offense, defense, special teams, from the head coach all the way down, there's so much trust in the athletes that we have on the team. And, you know, it is football. There is routes that you have to run. You have to run the route. You know, you have to, in coverage, play a cover two or a cover three. But the trust is that I'm going to let you go out and be an athlete and do it your way, your style, and have a little bit of fun with it. And I think by doing that, everybody's just kind of loosened up, and they're just like, you know, having fun with it. And there's a trust from the coaching staff to the players and from the players to the coaching staff. And it's just a totally different feel. And the great analogy that you used was, yeah, it feels like you have a leash around your neck, and then when you don't, it's off. You don't think so much. You don't doubt yourself so much. And you just get to play football.
Exactly.
And, well, so, Callie, and then being able to just play football, how long has this core group of ladies been playing together, and how long have you been with this particular coaching staff that they feel comfortable to, quote-unquote, let you off the leash? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because, you know, like yeah, that, I mean, that matters, right, in terms of the time, because in order to have that trust, there has to be some kind of connection or longevity in terms of how long you've been working together.
So here's the crazy thing about it, and I think Eric can also agree too, like being around it as a player, as a coach, as a recruiter, it's such a combination thing, it's such a timing thing. So, for example, our offensive coordinator was with us a couple years ago, but there was a different defensive coordinator and a different head coach when he was offensive coordinator. And then our defensive coordinator this year, this is his second year, and we had a different offensive coordinator last year, same head coach. But it's like now our head coach – with this offensive coordinator and this defensive coordinator, it's just like this. It's like they're all on the same page. Where I feel in the past, even though we had one key ingredient with a coach who enjoyed this whole, I trust you, you're an athlete, you know, here's the scheme, now let's do it the way that, you know, looks great and feels comfortable. There's one piece of that puzzle that's there, and then the other pieces aren't quite there. I think that it's a timing thing, and it's a combination thing, and the way that all of the pieces that fit into the puzzle this year is completely different, because, you know, the initial part of your question, this core group of people have been together players-wise for about 5 years, and four or five years has been, yeah. So, like I said, you know, it's totally been a you know, I hate to put it this way, but the way the stars aligned for us this year, with the right coaching staff on the same page, all in the same strategy and scheme, and then this core group of players who are finally kind of allowed to not have to doubt themselves. You know, it's funny how it works. It's coincidental how it works, but yeah, I mean, that's the best way to explain it. It's just kind of how the puzzle pieces have fit in, you know, this season.
Now, you guys are getting ready to face the Dallas Elite. Now, this is your first time playing them this season. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you think is going to be your biggest challenge with the Dallas Elite? And, of course, I will be honest, a couple shows back, I much respect to all the other teams, but I was very clear that this was the matchup that I wanted. And I wanted it just because I just think it's so kismet. It's so, you know, Dallas versus the Redskins. And,
yeah,
you know, for
yeah.
everyone who knows, I am a diehard Cowboys fan. I bleed blue and silver. Uh-huh. And I even said, but I like the D.C. Divas. I said, I love all of
there
my D.C. sports teams, but the Redskins, I said, oh, my gosh. I was like, this is the matchup that I want, but
right.
I don't know who I'm going to be able to root for now. So, you
yeah,
know, hey, so who, what are you looking forward to for this match?
So many things, you know, and we kind of went into this, and it's kind of how we approach playoffs. We didn't ever want, I mean, you know, again, from a football perspective, you study film just to kind of figure out what your strategy needs to be. But, you know, a lot of people sometimes get caught up and they're like, man, they're this and they're this. And we've kind of tried to just worry about, you know, us. But from an outside perspective, they're fast. They're fast, they're disciplined. I played on Team USA with their head coach, Odessa, who is a phenomenal person, Odessa Jenkins, probably one of my most favorite people. And the game of women's football is in good hands as long as she's still in a leadership role. I'm looking forward to playing a solid football team, and that's exactly what they are. They play disciplined football. They're fast. They're athletic. You know, they're not a lay down and die kind of team. And obviously, making it to the championship, that's, you know, what you expect is a team that's not going to give up. But I mean, this is going to be what I think women's football has been waiting for a while. The kind of, you know, last year was a blowout in the championship, Boston over San Diego.
Mm.
The year before that, it was a blowout. The old Dallas team, the Dallas Diamonds, got blown out by Chicago. You know, that's not good for the sport. This is the championship.
No.
This has to be the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
And I think finally that's happened. And honestly, I don't, you know, anybody who's listening who remembers a couple of years ago when the championship was held in Pittsburgh at Heinz Field, it was San Diego and Chicago, and it was probably the most phenomenal championship game that's happened in women's football. And we want to do that again because, you know, all eyes are on women in sports right now, I think. I think this is such a prime and crucial time for women's sports
mm-hmm.
in general. And this is a perfect opportunity for us to continue to plead our case. And the only way to do that is to be competitive. And, you know,
yeah.
when you look at sports, you know, from a business perspective, it's a product. And if you don't have a product that makes people's eyes pop open, you're not selling the product. And, you know, having a championship game where it's a blowout, that's not selling the product. Having a championship game where it's a gun show and it's back and forth and who's going to win this down to the wire, people are going to be like, holy, this is the real deal. And I really do truly believe that this matchup is going to bring that back for women's football.
Well, and I'm glad you said that about the blowout because I've looked at a lot of these scores. You know, this is, of course, my first season with women's football. I'm looking at a lot of these scores, and I'm just, wow. And it's disheartening to see a score of 58-7. And you're right. It lessens, I don't want to say the quality of this game, but you're like, this is just so lopsided, you know. And that it makes it not fun, you know, and I think that you're absolutely right about women's sports. You know, we talked about that with Mark and, you know, the whole Ronda Rousey and Jess Cohea, and now, you know, you've got Dr. Jen Walter, you know, coaching with the Arizona Cardinals and,
right.
You know, so, you know,
And I know we've got to wrap up soon, but I want to give Eric time to also get some questions in. But, you know, what are some of your thoughts about that? And you know, what do you think about how this is going to end, or what impact will she have on the game of women's football?
Fortunately, you know, having played with her on Team USA and getting to know her really well, people have asked me a lot. I was actually on a local news station over, you know, here in D.C. I was on Fox 5 last week talking about Janet Welter. If there is one woman that I have met in my entire football journey who could do this and do it right and not do it as a publicity stunt, it's Jen. She, her knowledge of the game, you know, her, she, you know, has a degree in sports psychology. She understands an athlete's mind, whether it be a grown man or a young child. You know, there's nobody better for this role. She is an on-the-field, in-your-face, hands-on kind of person, and I know she'll bring that over as a coach, and that's the way you get these grown men, professional football players, to respect you. You know, sitting there on the sideline and saying, this is what you should do. And then, like, the videos that you're seeing and the pictures that you're seeing of her at training camp, she's on the field grabbing them by the face mask saying, this is how you do it. And these guys are starting to be like, wow, you know, I respect this woman. That's why I say, you know, if anybody has the characteristics to be able to do it and do it right and be the right representation to open that door, it's one thing to say, you know, I'm the first woman to do this. Well, did you do a good job? Because if you didn't, the door closes again.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's why I think that she's perfect, because not only is she going to open the door, but knowing Jen and anybody who does know Jen will understand that she's kicking that thing open and busting the hinges off, and that's just the kind of person she is. So I was so happy that it happened. I knew it was in the works, and I just kind of wanted, and props to the people over at the Arizona Cardinals for seeing – you know, the potential. I love the quote that the head coach had where he said, you know, anybody who can help me be better, I want them around. And he truly felt like he could learn something from her, which says so much just about him and the organization and what they're trying to accomplish.
Absolutely. I could not have said it better. Eric, did you have any questions for Callie?
Yes, but first I just want to say I can – totally back what she's saying, because I was with the Texas Revolution when Jen was a player, and I was in the scouting department, and the exact same Jennifer Welter that you see on the clips on TV at practice, that's the exact same one I saw every day at practice.
Uh-huh.
And also this year when she was coaching, the exact same person. So, yeah, if anybody can do the job, she can.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, my question is, you kind of touched on it when you first came on. I know as a player, the one thing that I hated was pregame jitters. I could not stand that. so I could not wait to get that first hit out of the way to get all that out of my system. But I was just wondering how you kind of deal with that. Do you have any pregame rituals that you go through, or any, steps that you go through to kind of deal with that, or are you one of those people that just enjoy that part of it?
So I think I have a kind of a mixture. You know, I remember in the beginning of my career, I would be a nervous wreck. Like, I probably couldn't eat. You know, I'd have breakfast on game day, but, like, I probably couldn't keep anything else down for the rest of the day and was just constantly just going over it. Now that I feel like I've experienced so much with this game, and, like, it's more of like an anticipation thing for me than it is nerves. You know, I was talking to our quarterback, Allison Hamlin, about this actually. You know, I was like, I don't really get nervous anymore, even for these big games. It's more of like, just like you said, I just want to be on the field. I want this game to start right now. You know, there's so many of the unknowns of what to expect and what's going to happen, and you don't really know the rhythm of the game until you're actually playing in the game, and then you kind of get settled in. But my thing, you know, that I've done over the past couple of years is I flood myself with football up until the day before, and then I use the day before to do everything but football. And that kind of gives me a chance to just relax and not stress on it and mentally exhaust myself on the details. You know, the week before, it's practice and it's film up until Thursday night, and then Friday is my day to just, you know, be Callie and not do football stuff. It's relax. Hang out with family, hang out with friends, and kind of just, you know, get myself back to my center and do that stuff. And it's paid off very much for me. It kind of takes away that mental exhaustion and that jitter stuff and that anticipation where you're just blogging your mind. Now, I have to say, I haven't been in this situation where I am going to be in the championship and surrounded by things no matter where I seem to go. That's going to be a little hard to do when I get to L.A., trying to hang out in the hotel and not think about football when I'm surrounded by the banners of championship weekend and all that. We'll see how that strategy goes when I get out there. But, you know, I've always found that, you know, it's nice to be able to take yourself out of the situation a little bit in order to make sure that when the time comes, you're ready and you have a red line mentally on the topic.
Really quickly, because we have to wrap up, but are you all still in need of financial sponsorships to help make sure the entire team gets out there, or is everybody going, or, you know, and then also let everybody know where they can follow you on social media and on the net?
So we have there's always help that we can take financially because, you know, the team does bear the cost of, you know, feeding the team and transportation to and from the field. There's never in women's football enough ways, you know, for people to be able to help. So if you get on Facebook or even on Twitter, it's a YouCaring, YouCaring, .com site that we have. There's a link for DC Divas Football. If you go to the Facebook, the link is everywhere, of course. If you want to donate, we appreciate it. We love it. You know, every little bit helps us. You know, be comfortable when we're over there and make sure there's less stress going on. And then for me, you know, you can always, I'm on Facebook. I'm on, the best way is probably to keep up with me are Twitter and Instagram. And it's CalBrown17, CalBrown17. And especially through this weekend, I've been asked, you know, by our team and by the, you know, the documentary crew that's following us as well to make sure that we document as much of this championship weekend as we can. So I'll be on Twitter a lot. I'll be on Instagram a lot, sharing the experience from a player perspective. And, you know, I hope to kind of make people have a little bit more insight on what it's like and the awesomeness that is around championship weekend in general.
Awesome. Eric, did you have any other final questions for Callie?
No, that's it. Sounds like she's ready to roll, so anxious to see what's going to happen.
Wonderful. Well, we wish you the best of luck. We wish the DC Divas the best of luck, and looking forward to a great championship game. And, again, have a wonderful time. Enjoy it. Soak it all up and have a blast.
Well, thank you guys so much. And then again, you know, with it being the last week of the season, I just want to thank you guys for all your support and the coverage of the sport and all of women's football. We really appreciate all you guys do.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
You.
And again, I've had
you.
A total blast. Yeah, we really do. This has just been wonderful. So I really enjoyed my inaugural season with women's football. And thank you so much for continuing to support us, you know, in our efforts, because if you know, you coming on and Mark and all of our other wonderful guests we've had throughout the season help make it possible for us to have a show. So it's definitely mutually beneficial. And again, Callie, thank you so much for coming on, and have a great flight and best of luck out there.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Thanks,
good
Callie.
Night. And our wonderful interviews again were brought to you today by our sponsor, Zazzle.com. And for other things related to women's sports, MMA, WWE updates, check out UltimateSportsTalk.com. Again, check out UltimateSportsTalk.com. And thank you again to our sponsor, Zazzle.com, because without them, you know, we wouldn't be here as well, having all these opportunities to bring, you know, this wonderful world of women's football to everyone. And we also have some updates really quickly that we just got in from the tournament for the at WEC 2015 in Spain tournament. And Great Britain has defeated Germany 17-6 and in match one. And in match two, Finland has defeated Spain 56-18. And the MVP for Team Finland was Jenny Linden. So for all the wonderful updates on what's happening across over in Europe, you can follow on Twitter at WEC2015, or you can follow at IFAF Europe for updates. So, Eric, we're getting ready to wrap up, but was there anything else you wanted to talk about today in the world of sports, in the world of the NFL? Do you know, training camp starts this week, and, you know, it's like the excitement's in the air, and, you know, it's like, oh, wow, football's really, really here. You know, we had the whole hangover, I guess, you know, from the Super Bowl, and now it's like the excitement's building up all over again, and then the ladies are getting ready to wrap up their season. So anything else you want to discuss with me, before we close out the show?
Yeah, just real quick, I don't know if you saw it or not, but looks like Steven Jackson is trying to lobby to come to the Cowboys. He tweeted a picture of Cowboys Stadium, and above it, it has his number in lights, like they're shining a light up in the clouds with his number glowing, and it said, "Attention at Dallas Cowboys." So
now,
he is lobbying to try to get down here.
So wait, now he's not with the Atlanta Falcons, because I'm not gonna lie, I really and truly am playing catch up on all things sports related. You know, like I said, the past week. So hit me up. Hit me to the game. What's going on? He's not with the Falcons anymore?
Nope.
Did they let him go?
I'm not sure if they just let him go, or they just didn't, you know, maybe his contract expired and they just didn't bring him back, but not sure what the scenario was there. But yeah, he is free to roam, so you know, he's trying to work his way in there with the Cowboys. Now, of course, the current running backs that they have, including Randall, who, according to Ian Rappaport, you know, insiders in the Cowboys are kind of expecting him to be the number one. So, of course, he's not too big of a fan of you know, Jackson wanting to come down here, but we'll see what happens.
I'm okay with it because he still has plenty of gas in the tank. You know, he's only had a few injuries. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
No disrespect, but Darren McFadden hadn't gotten through an entire season yet, and I'm sorry. I'm just so ridiculously nervous about having him in one of the primary roles for our team.
Right.
When you let go DeMarco Murray. So I'm okay with Steven Jackson coming. I really, really am. Wow.
Well, yeah,
yeah, I mean, that's huge.
The way his career has worked out, I mean, it's just unfortunate that he didn't have a better offensive line in front of him. But, you know, having the Cowboys offensive line in front of him, I'm sure any running back in the league would want to come here if they were a free agent. So.
Absolutely. And he's never really just been on a great team. And look at the impressive numbers he still put up as a running back.
Exactly. Yep.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Well, is there anything else that we need to discuss, or any other amazing updates? We know Russell Wilson got the big contract, so he got that done. I think the deadline was Friday, and you know, so he did get the contract that he wanted. So I know that was big sports news. And I'm sure that there probably are others. Well, I guess we better talk about this really quickly since Erica's not here, that the Tom Brady suspension, punishment, whatever you want to call it, was upheld. And now they're asking for an immediate, I guess, final solution or something from a judge, and who's going to have the ultimate say. So I'm really ready for Deflategate to be flat. I'm ready for the air to be totally let out of this scandal. I'm ready for it to be over. I am sure, you know, Patriot fans are, for much different reasons, but yeah, this has been a slow leaking football, and I just really want it to dissipate.
Right, yeah, and but I don't see it ending anytime really soon. I see it, you know, going to court. But I'm kind of
okay.
looking at things from a different type of angle. Probably because I watch too much TMZ. But
right.
I'm thinking the real reason, or one of the reasons, Tom Brady didn't want to release those text messages was because he might have a little dip on the side, so to speak.
Yep.
I think
and then he doesn't want something.
I'm agreeing with you. They said we only want the text messages, you know, pertaining to the Patriots. We don't care about any other stuff. So if anybody,
yeah, but just
you know,
just because you don't care about it doesn't mean that you need to know it.
Well, what I'm saying is, and I don't know how they would do it, but through the process of extrapolating all that stuff, other stuff that he doesn't want out there could end up out there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right. Because even if you have a complete stranger reading your phone, they're going to get all of your text messages. And just because they're not looking for that information, that's just like when you tell a jury, strike that from the record. The jury can't unhear it.
Right.
Someone can't unsee a text message that had nothing to do with the discussion at hand if it's mixed in with numerous other text messages. So, yeah, I figured that there was a lot more going on, in it, but that the phone situation had nothing. Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to hold it in, but thank you. But I figured it had nothing to do with football, but I'm ready for this to be over. So our final question on the slate gate, and I know we'll still have to talk about it, but does the suspension get upheld? Does Brady sit the 4 games, or does he serve any of that suspension?
Well, yeah, I think he's going to serve at least some of it. And in a way, it's kind of unfortunate because I don't see it any more egregious, if you will, than someone you know who might have stickum on their gloves or you know an
right.
offensive lineman putting some sort of grease or oil on their jersey to keep from getting grabbed.
Right.
I don't see how it's any more serious than that. So should he be fined? Yes.
I don't.
Should he be suspended? No.
Right. And
but,
that's kind of about where I am with it.
I think it'll be probably at least 2 games, I think, at the least.
I think it'll be 2 games. And I think that I agree with you that the issue is no less egregious than anything else. I think this is about saving face, for lack of a better term. So,
right.
Yeah, well, we are just about out of time, my friend. But I want to thank our wonderful guests for coming on today, Callie Bronson and Mark Staffieri, for joining us today and discussing women's football, championship titles, and giving us wonderful insight into all that's happening over there in Canada. And again, before we go, one last time, we definitely want to thank sponsor Zazzle.com and remind everyone to go visit UltimateSportsTalk.com for all sports-related updates and information. So with that, we leave you and bid you good night. Eric, any closing remarks?
Go Bears.
Ah, now see, there you go. Okay, see, now I have to do it. Cowboys Nation, baby. Cowboys Nation. Respect the star. And I am your host, Nkechi Free, being joined once again by my fabulous, awesome co-host, Eric Brown. Erica, we miss you. Oscar, hope to have you on soon. And we wish everyone good night.
Good night, guys.